that day on Calvary. Lord God, no matter what we're going through, whether it's illness or financial difficulties, whatever the situation, Father, you have covered it all. Father, we come into this place tonight giving you praise. For Lord, there is nothing we can do. There is no price we can pay. There is no work we can do. For you have covered it all. We give you praise tonight in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, the situation stands at this point as such. The worship team have preached my sermon. They even, from the beginning right to the end. So it was amazing. Every one of us over here, we're either in the position where we've taken our children to a fun fair, or we're young enough to remember being at a fun fair and riding on a teacup ride. I'm sure you remember what it was like. You feel as if when you're on there, you're stuck to your seat as you're spinning, and the more you spin, the more you're stuck to your seat, and you wish you had never got on that ride in the first place. That actually describes what life is like. We want to get off. And sometimes it's so bad, we actually feel queasy. You see, the pressure to perform, to be good enough, to live up to everybody's expectations, to keep going, to make more money, to have more stuff, to take care of the kids, to perform at work, the list goes on. Excuse me. Peter and Marianne's son, Brandon, was at Bible school with Timothy and Daniela, and we had lunch with him today, and we were saying how Brandon's working in Kazakhstan. And they were saying, why? I said, well, they have children. And all they said was, oh. You see, they knew. It's life. Pressure. You need to do what you need to do to get by. And once we're on that ride, we feel as if we want to stop that ride and get off. And that pressure can make us worry. But here's some statistics, just in case you are one of those people that worry. 40% of your worries will never happen. 30% of concerns concern old decisions that you can't alter. 12% center on unfair criticism. 10% relate to health, which will worsen as you worry. And 8% involve things that you can change. So that tells us that the pressure that we feel should only take 8% of our time. But the question is, how do we know, out of all the worries that we have, which is the correct 8%? In other words, how do we survive pressures, especially when that pressure causes worry? A bit of a difficult predicament. Imagine for a moment what it must have been like for Moses. Had he worried about taking the people of Israel out of Egypt and their logistics involved? You know, when I was thinking about this, and the only question that he asked God and the only complaint that he had to God was, well, I can't really speak very well. But never once did he say, well, you know, there are 3 million people. Do you realize, God, it's going to take 1,500 tons of food a day that will fill 2 freight trains each a mile long? And it's going to take 4,000 tons of wood that will fill some more trains. And now multiply that by 40 years. And then what about water? If they only had enough to drink, to cook, and wash a few dishes, we're not talking about bathing for 40 years. It would be 11 million gallons a day. And then they had to cross the Red Sea in one night. That's something else you had to worry about. If they had to cross on a narrow path, two by two, it would have taken them 35 days and nights. And the queue would have been 800 miles long. But they had to get over there in one night. So the sea had to open 3 miles wide so that they could walk across 5,000 abreast. But you see, Moses didn't sit down and worry about the logistics. He left that to God. He just said, well, God, this is your plan. We'll go with your plan. He had faith that God would take care of everything. But here's the kicker. We serve the same God. The fact of the matter is, we call ourselves Christians. And we will have challenges in life. But you see, very often, we settle for a mediocre life. And we're just happy just to get by. Have you ever heard of people say, I just want to get by? I remember Lulu telling me a story of when she and her son were walking for miles every day, and she said, Lord, please give me an old beat-up bucky. And he did. It was an old beat-up bucky. You see, we just want to get by. And then suddenly it dawned on her, actually, you know what, God can do better than this. But that's how we are. When we're in difficult situations, we just want to get by. But God can do better than that. You see, when he took the people out of Egypt, he took them out to bless them. When they left Egypt, he meant for them to enter a life of blessing. But the first thing they encountered was a major hurdle. They came up against the Red Sea. And on the sides of them were mountains. At the back of them were the Egyptians. But just notice, they were in the will of God. Very often when we encounter problems, we think, well, I must be out of the will of God. Or we look at somebody with problems and think, well, they must be out of the will of God. But look at the problems that the Israelites were encountering, and they were in the will of God. They were following the cloud by day and the fire by night. And suddenly the enemy was pursuing them, and they had no way of escape. In front of them was the sea, behind them was the enemy. They had nowhere to run and nowhere to hide. The option was either get killed or drown. They were boxed in, but they were exactly where God wanted them to be. Very often we find ourselves in that kind of situation where we're boxed in and we think, well, there's something very, very wrong with the situation. But they were in the perfect will of God. But their faith was being tested. You might be sitting here this evening feeling exactly the same as they did that day. You might be feeling as if you're boxed in. As if there's a problem here, there's no way to go, there's no way forward, there's no way back, I can't run to the sides. You're surrounded by the enemy, and the enemy is mocking you and telling you that trusting in God is actually foolish, and it will do you absolutely no good to have any faith. Perhaps you might be in the position tonight where your faith is falling apart. Your marriage is falling apart. Your finances are bad. And your health will continue to deteriorate. And you're getting to the point just like Job's wife when he said to him, curse God and die. And that's how you might be feeling this evening. There's absolutely no way out of this. I might as well give up coming to church. Stop doing anything that I am doing in the ministry. Give up the responsibilities. Quit giving God his tithes and offerings. And just curse God and die. But you know, we need to recognize God's purpose. The events of our lives do not happen by accident. Very often we think that they do. But they don't happen by accident. I was reading some scriptures to the Bible students on Tuesday night. And I was showing them that even before the existence of the world, God knew them. God knew every single one of us before the creation of the world. Nothing comes to him by surprise. There's no situation in any of our lives that he didn't know was going to happen. So it's not an accident. And God is still in control. So often we believe that we might even be punished for what we might have done. Or if you grew up Catholic like me, you're just being punished. When we face our own Red Sea, that place is overwhelmingly difficult. And we believe that we had it coming to us. Well, it's all my fault. The reason that we must have done something wrong, and now God's cross with us, and he's dumped all these problems on us. But we don't find any of this in the Bible. He has a purpose for every single one of us. He had a purpose for the people. As he took them out of Egypt, he did not intend for them to die. He did not intend for them to be killed by the Egyptians. He did not intend for them to drown in the sea. And when we face difficulties, God wants to accomplish two things for us. He wants us to make his glory known to other people. And he wants to teach us to trust him completely. If we have a look at Exodus 14, verse 4, it says, "But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord." The Red Sea that they were facing served a purpose. God can use whatever situation we might be in for his glory, and to bring us into a closer relationship with him. We can come through that ordeal with a stronger faith, better than we had before. He knows your faith might be tested, but he hasn't been caught unprepared. He knows when you want to throw in the towel. He knows it's difficult, and he knows it's painful. He knows you lie awake at night and worry about it. He sees the stress in your life. And he also knows all the tears that you shed when nobody's around. The psalmist declares, "For weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." You might find yourself right now in the midnight of your life. But we need to hold on. Because there will be a new day. I'm sure that anybody here that's been very sick at some stage, especially during the night, you wish that morning will come, and then morning comes and you don't feel any better anyway. God is not troubled, and he's not punishing any of us. When we're facing difficulties and impossible situations, we often lose perspective. You know, making a mountain out of a molehill, we lose perspective because we're standing so close to the problem. And we start doubting God's love and concern. And we begin to think God's cross with us. That's exactly what the Israelites did when they saw the army that they were facing. They panicked and they said, "Was it because there was no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? Had God intended for them to die? No, He hadn't brought them out to die. He brought them out to bless them. But they had lost perspective. They lost the perspective of what God had done in Egypt. And all they could see was the mountain in front of them. To them, it would have been better to remain a slave than to face the problems that they were at that moment. God had plans for them, greater than they could imagine. And sometimes we face insurmountable odds. And we look at the situation, and we also want to run. We don't want to face the situation. We don't want to deal with the situation. We don't want to face up to it. We'd rather turn back to the place that we were before than to deal with the situation that's in front of us. God had great things in store for the children of Israel. All they had to do was to trust Him. And God has a plan for every single one of us. He doesn't want us to settle for second best. And that's exactly what happens when we turn back because we haven't got the courage to face the situation that we're in. He doesn't want us to run from crisis. He wants us to meet it head on because He will give us the courage to do it. We need to rely on God's promises. A motivational speaker once said, "If your success was guaranteed, wouldn't you be willing to endure just about anything? If you had an ironclad contract stating that if you dig ditches every day for 6 months in the rain, your financial woes would be over forever, would you be willing to dig ditches for 6 months?" Yes, because you are assured of the outcome. We can endure just about anything if we know what the outcome is. You see, the most difficult thing for the Israelites that day was they didn't know what the outcome was. They had to rely on God. And very often that is what we have to do. We can't see the outcome, but God does know what the outcome is. He's asking us to trust Him. We must rely on His promise. Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord that the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still. You know, there's a lot of voices for us to listen to. Conrad mentioned it this morning. It's like a radio station, or listening to the radio, and it's not quite on the station. And we hear a whole lot of stations blending or bleeding into each other. So we don't hear anything in particular. We just hear a jumble of things. And very often that is what it's like when we are running around in the world and we can't hear God's voice because everything is crowding in on us and we hear everything at the same time. But God is saying to us, stand still. Stand still. And listen to me. You know, we run into God and we say, "Lord, this is my prayer list for the day." And we run out again without giving much time and thought to it. If we had to treat our jobs that way, or our spouse, or our children, it would not be accepted. But God is telling us tonight that He wants us to stand still. Be quiet. Be still. God promised the young nation of Israel that He would take care of them and He would fight their battles. All they had to do was to stand still, stand firm, which simply means that they had to block out all the distractions around them. You see, the peace of God can't hit a moving target. We need to stand still for God's peace to take hold of us. And if you are facing a Red Sea situation tonight, remember, It might seem impossible to you, but it's not impossible to God. God does have a plan. It may be something very different to what you have imagined, but he does have a plan. He knew that plan before he even created the worlds, and we need to remember that. He will get every single one of us to the other side. We just need to stand still and stand firm and be grounded in our faith, knowing that God can do anything, and the only thing he can't do is fail. And that is what we need to hold on to tonight. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank and praise you that you will never leave us nor forsake us, that you will never fail, Lord, that, Lord God, we might see nations come and go, we might see presidents come and go, but, Lord God, you will be faithful. You will stand by us. No matter what the situation, you will stand with us when everybody else deserts us. And Father God, I pray that that will take hold of each one of us tonight, that Lord God will drop into our hearts, that Father, we will stand firm and we will stand quietly and peacefully in your presence, knowing, Lord, that you will see us through. And Father, we pray this tonight. In the name of Jesus, amen.